We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Since I met him, probably his sophomore year, whatever it was in college, that he had the potential just from a physical traits, right? Forget getting to know him. Just from a physical standpoint, he had the opportunity in the right situation with the right development plan and the right people around him to become one of the best or the best quarterback in the league just from a physical traits. I mean, he's 6'5", he's 200 and whatever pounds. He's faster than everybody thinks. And he's not just a fast guy. He's also a runner. He's got fantastic feel for it. And then from an arm talent standpoint, it's not just the first or second strongest arm in the league. He also has a quick release. And what he's demonstrated this year is he also has a lot of control on the ball on these intermediate and underneath throws that require touch.
That is Jordan Palmer, who works with Josh Allen in the offseason, has worked with Josh Allen in the offseason the last few years. Jordan was on One Bills Live. If you missed the interview, you can listen to it in our on-demand audio, which is at WGR550.com and brought to you by Northwest, increasing the value of you. Happy Thursday. Jeremy's off for a couple days, back on Monday. Sal Capaccio sitting in for another hour with us. And Sal, we're going to play we'll play a little game around the NFL, the home game version, in just a moment for you. You're going to have to do some picking. But to folks that are just joining us, 2-0 start, we're talking about what you feel good about so far about the Bills at 2-0 and what concerns you might have. Nicholas tweeted in, no complaints at all. Excited to see what happens in the next stretch of games. Only minor concern would be the Pats and especially Cam looking better than I thought they might be, that they would be battling for the division. What'd you think of Cam the other night? I caught the first quarter plus. I'll have to go back and watch the rest of the game. But his passing stats were eye-popping against what's supposed to be a good Seattle defense. How does that factor into your thoughts on the division with Newton's first two games?
Well, they look really good. And I think that there is an argument to be made that they upgraded at quarterback. Yeah. I know that sounds blasphemy, right?
No, I'm with you, man. I agree. From the past, they have. From what Brady was doing last year, this is better.
Yeah, and it's funny because I went on a lot of different shows, you know, like in the offseason, especially, you know, during the quarantine and all that. You know, people are filling content. So I got a lot of different calls from around the country. And, you know, I was on a couple times down in Tampa. But everywhere, when people would talk to me about the Bills, naturally the next part of the conversation would be, and what about the Patriots? You know, the Bills have a chance here in the AFC East. And then they'd get to, what about Tampa and Brady? And I'm here to tell you, Howard, every time I was on with one of these stations, I would say this. I'd say, look, I've been on the field with Tom Brady plenty of times over the last 6 years. He was just different last year.
Yeah.
He was not the same quarterback. He missed a lot of throws. He threw the ball away. He didn't want to get hit. And I said, look, I know that they have better weapons in Tampa. There's no doubt. He also had good numbers at the end of the year. He didn't have like Tom Brady-esque numbers, but he had good numbers at the end of the year. But he was not the same quarterback. And I just threw caution every time I would talk to, especially anybody in Tampa. I'd say, I just want to give you a caution. Like, if you're getting the same Tom Brady that was in New England last year, if he's not going to get any better, I don't know if they're going to be nearly the team that people expect, because he was different. And he did take a step back. And so far, it looks like maybe the Patriots, so far through 2 weeks, have gotten the better version of Cam Newton, which means they have more flexibility in their offense. I'll go back to in January, I was at the Senior Bowl. And I was told at the Senior Bowl, and I said this to you guys, I was told at the Senior Bowl, don't be surprised if they just want to get more mobile at quarterback. Whatever that looks like, they want to get a little more mobile at quarterback. And that's what they did. It took a while. We all know how they kind of got there. And, you know, Newton wasn't going to be the guy. Then he is the guy because he's free and he signs the contract for a little money. But to me, they've done a really good job of coaching him. He looks really good. But I want to see how this plays out long term and if they can sustain it the way they're doing it.
Now, I have a few different topics to bring up here. We'll do a little bit of around the NFL. I'm going to give you some categories. You, Sal, get to pick which one you'd like to hear from me. You ready?
Sure.
All right, Brayton, some music, please. It's a good thing we don't have to pay the NFL rights for the music beds. Okay, let's see. We have your topics are, oh, that's why, good news, poor Tyrod, Dan could be done, or ring-a-ding-ding.
Oh, I like ring-a-ding-ding. That sounds good.
Did you see the Darius Leonard story? Darius Leonard from the Indianapolis Colts plays with his wedding ring on, but he wears a glove over the wedding ring. The Colts finished their game the other day, and I guess they had some fans in the stands, so he wants to throw his glove to a fan in the stands. He takes his glove off. He throws it into the stands. He gets in the locker room, looks down. Oh, crap. Where's my wedding ring? He lost his wedding ring. Unbeknownst to him, it's in the glove. It came off when he ripped the glove off and threw it into the set. So all he's freaking out. What do I do when I get home? How do I tell her? I lost. Where is it? What could have happened to it? I lost my wedding ring. He gets home. He's trying to figure out how to break the news. And his wife says to him, hey, something to the effect of, hey, did you lose your wedding ring? The fan who caught the glove DM'd Darius Leonard's wife and said, we have the wedding ring. How can we get it back to you?
Wow.
How about that?
By the way, ring-a-ding-ding.
By the way, Darius Leonard says he's going to give the fan like an autographed jersey. He's going to give the fan some stuff because it was so nice of them to bring the ring back and return it to them. He's going to make sure he gets them some stuff. So there you go.
Look, to each his own, to each his own. I'm not going to criticize anybody for how they want to do it or for whatever reason. I can't understand it, though. I can't understand playing professional sports with your wedding band on.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I take it off no matter what I play. Playing golf, I cannot play golf with my wedding band on.
Really?
I've got to take it off.
I didn't know that.
I cannot do it. Nope.
Wow.
I can't do it. And maybe it's because I grip hard. I have the interlock grip, and I'm a lefty, so my index finger actually rubs against my ring finger, my right index against my left. So that's part of it, possibly. I can't wear a watch when I play. I can't wear jewelry when I play.
Yeah.
Anything. Guys wear chains, whatever. I just can't do it. So I don't know. Like I said, to each his own. Like, that's not a criticism. It's just I can't get that feel at all. I have to take it off. I am stunned. I have never lost my wedding band. In fact, I played golf the other day, Tuesday, when I was off. I played golf.
What, do you stick it in your pocket, band, basically? Or
no, I put it in, I usually put it in my car, like where the change is. But then I put it in the, I forgot to take it off early. So when I get to the course, I take it off, put it in my golf bag in the spot where I have like ball markers and things like that. And I have to go fish for it later.
Yeah,
but
I don't
know. It's there.
I feel like that's, well, I guess it's not risky. It's not like someone's stealing your golf bag, but still.
Right.
Okay. Oh, that's why. Good news, poor Tyrod, or Dan could be done.
Dan could be done.
Stat of the day from the Atlanta Falcons. You know what happened to Atlanta the other day in the game against
Dallas?
They blew
another big lead.
Dan Quinn is their head coach. This is from Mike Sando from The Athletic. Since 2015, NFL teams that led by more than 14 points in the final 6 minutes of regulation are 506-3. 506-3. Two of those three losses have come under Dan Quinn's tenure in Atlanta. One was Sunday. I think you remember the other big loss in the final 6 minutes.
Yes, of course. So this is counting playoffs because that was
counts playoffs. 506-3. Three of those losses, two of the three losses are Dan Quinn's.
Do we know the other one?
Nope, not listed. Yeah, I don't see it in the story. Now, see, why do you? Now I got to figure out who that is. I'll see if I can find it.
Okay, so can I defend the Falcons on one little thing here, though?
Oh, the onside kick discussion?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about they didn't know the rules.
I'm pretty sure they know.
I think
the
they
rules.
Did. Let me tell you how it works. All right, I think they deserve a lot of criticism for how they played it. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they deserve criticism, and it was unwarranted to say they didn't know the rules.
I think they froze.
You are
I think they knew the rules.
Well, there's been a lot of people who say they didn't know the rules. They didn't know the rules. Like here's what people are saying, Howard. Let me explain what I mean. Of course, we know that the kicking team cannot touch it before it goes 10 yards.
Right.
Obviously, the receiving team can touch it. Mm-hmm. They can touch it after 1 yard if they want. And people are saying they didn't know that. That's why they didn't jump on it. I don't buy that for one second.
I think they were afraid to touch it for one thing.
Correct.
And that's why I think they froze. Like if they touch it before, and then it's a live ball, right? So
you're 100% right.
What do we do?
But there is criticism out there saying that they didn't know they couldn't do that.
I don't buy that. I think
they're taught. Yeah. They're taught like I've been in these situations. I could tell you, like, you teach people don't touch it before it goes 10 yards because of exactly what you just said.
Yep.
Because then it can become a live ball.
Right.
But that ball was just in such a weird rotation situation and rolling. So it's like a foul ball, a ball going down the third or first baseline that it could go foul, but you're like, wait a minute, I'm going to let it go foul. And then it winds up fair and someone goes, why didn't you grab it before that?
Right. Which is why you see the players knock the, once it's foul, they just pick it up right away or knock it foul
Correct.
With their glove. Yeah, I think they knew the rule, and I think they either froze or they were afraid to actually play the ball.
100%. I agree with you.
Let's see. We got poor Tyrod. Good news, and oh, that's why.
Well, I know what the Tyrod story is. I don't know the in-depth, so let's go good news.
You know, just real quick on the Tyrod.
Let's do Tyrod.
You know what happened with the punctured lung, but if you think, I feel bad for the guy. Like, The what happened here wasn't injury related, but he gets the job. They end the playoff drought, but the new coach and GM are saying, "Hey, thanks. We're going to go get our own guy." So he loses the job, even though he ended a playoff drought. He goes to Cleveland. He has the job coming out of training camp. He's in week three. What happens against the Jets? He gets injured. He gets knocked out of the game. In comes Baker Mayfield. Thank you very much, Tyrod Taylor. We have some nice prizes here on your way out the door. He basically was done in Cleveland at that point. Goes out to L.A. They draft a quarterback. He wins the job. He gets hurt. In comes Justin Herbert. Hey, if Justin Herbert plays like he did this last Sunday against the Chiefs, I know what Anthony Lynn said. But if Justin Herbert plays like that, I don't know how Anthony Lynn puts Tyrod Taylor back out on the field. So he could lose a third job to a young quarterback two of the times when he was knocked out of a game with an injury and never got a shot.
Yeah. I did not know the situation until afterwards with Tyrod. What I did see was, because I'm doing post-game stuff for the Bills and, you know, jumping on calls, but I see on Twitter, Justin Herbert starting for the Chargers.
Yeah.
That's all I saw. And I'm like, wow, they benched Tyrod after last week because he didn't play well last week, Howard.
Right. And you didn't know about the chest. Right.
I had no idea about the chest. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe they moved on already from Tyrod. And then I saw somebody say, did he just get Wally Pipped? No one really knew the severity and, you know,
Sure.
By saying it like that, it might sound like it's, you know, making light of the situation. No one knew the severity of it at the time.
Yeah.
Just that he was out, he had a chest pain or something. And did he get Wally Pipped? And I'm like, wait a minute, Wally Pipped? Like, no, did he get benched? Like, what's going on? Then we find out the story later. But I will tell you, he did not play that well week one. It wasn't like he went out and threw for 300 yards and they're like, dude, we need to get our guy back.
No, they barely beat Cincinnati.
So it's making it's the Herbert piece, which makes it a little easier because he played well. But it's also the Tyrod piece where he didn't play that well week one.
So what do you want? Good news next? Is that what you were going for? I kind of threw you a curveball there. Or, that's why. We're going to get to both anyway, so it really doesn't matter. I'll give you good news.
Oh, that's why.
Someone called the show yesterday. You know, the coaches are getting fined and for not wearing their masks. And someone called and said, hey, listen, if they're testing every day and nobody's testing positive, why do they have to wear the masks? Here you go. We like to try and get you answers when we can on the show. If not, we just make them up. Dr. Alan Sills, the NFL chief medical officer, said, quote, there's a protocol in place, quote, it's not optional for people to follow the protocol. It's mandatory. Getting to the philosophy behind it, we've said consistently, testing is not what keeps us safe. Tests are important, but no test is perfect. We do have those false positives and false negatives. So the face coverings, the league says, it's another step that's important in risk mitigation. And, oh, by the way, some of the public health authorities in the various cities mandate that they wear the face coverings when they're at work inside the stadium. So it's not just a league thing. It could be the local communities are mandating you have to wear face coverings. So that's why the coaches are getting fined, and that's why they're doing the face coverings in the National Football League, even though they're getting no positive tests. Let's see, what's the last thing? Oh, good news. And then we have some trivia, I guess, right? Good news.
I do. I have some trivia for you.
Good news, Sal. Penalties are down. Research showing Offensive penalties. I should be clear about this. You're going to hear defensive guys complaining. 189 offensive penalties called through week two is the fewest on an offense in the first 2 weeks of a season since 2002. Offensive holding is way down. They have been told, referees have been told, clear and obvious penalties. So they're calling fewer penalties, definitely fewer on offense, and they're not calling as many offensive holding calls, which led to the other good news. Scoring is up. Teams have scored a combined average of 50 points a game through the first 2 weeks of the season. That is the highest total since the merger in 1970. There you go. There you go. There's your good news, good news. Right? Nobody's complaining about less penalties other than if you're a defensive lineman. That might be the only group complaining about no penalties.
All right, you ready for some instant trivia?
Yes, sir.
All right, this is Rams trivia, and I apologize to you, Brayton, right away, because I will tell you, no offense to Howard when I say this. Some of the answers here are quite old. Howard will know a little bit more than you on this, but you can still participate and you'll still do okay
on
some other ones.
I'll just throw random Rams names out there, and I don't care what the position is. I'm just throwing them out there.
Hey,
Rams began play in 1937.
Guess what?
Howard, I know you weren't around.
I don't think he played for 1937.
You weren't around then.
Come on, Sal.
Yes. That was the Cleveland Rams, okay? This goes all the way back to then. However, we're not going back to the 30s. We are going back to the 40s on a couple of these guys, though. Can you name, gentlemen, the top 10 passers in yards passing all time for the Cleveland St. Louis LA Rams?
Oh my
Rams
lord,
franchise.
You're killing me.
Kurt Warner.
You're gonna get them all, I think, or most of them, if not all.
Go ahead. Kurt Warner.
He is number six.
Jim Hart.
No, that's the Cardinals.
Oh, I was thinking St. Louis. That's right. Duh. St. Louis Rams, right?
Wow, already off to a rocky start.
Vince Ferragamo.
Yes, he was number nine.
No, really?
Also played with the Bills, obviously.
Honestly, I was kidding. Yes. I didn't think he was actually on the list.
I'll go Jared Goff.
Jared Goff is number five already.
Vince Ferragamo. I think I'm going to stop on Vince Ferragamo. Roman Gabriel.
Yes, number three.
Old guy. Don't worry. He played in 1847.
When you were really paying attention to football then, huh?
Yeah, right. As opposed to now. I couldn't name anybody from the Cleveland Rams. I'm pretty sure.
You don't have number one yet.
Is it from the Cleveland Rams?
No.
1980s. Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford is on the list. He is number eight.
1980s.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
1980s.
No, that's a good guess. Where is he? He's way down the list. I'll give you a hint. Come on, number one? I shouldn't be giving you a hint. I would have got this pretty early.
After Ferragamo?
Yes. Right after.
Who was after
Eric
Ferragamo?
Dickerson. He handed off to Eric Dickerson a lot.
I'm drawing a blank. Who was after Ferragamo?
Think Jim Rome.
Chris Everett. Everett.
His name isn't Chris.
Chrissy Everett.
Yes, Jim Rome. That's
Jim
right.
Rome. Jim
it
Everett.
Is Jim Chrissy, Everett is number
Chrissy
one.
Everett.
Yes.
That's right. The throwing chair
one,
episode. Yeah.
3, 5, 6, 8, and 9. You're missing number
goodness.
Two.
Let's see. Older
number
guys.
Two was early 2000s.
Brain.
Trent if you Green. Are if your back is hurting, you might have a something disc.
Mark Bulger.
Yes. Disc.
Yeah. That's a good clue. I like that.
I don't know why I said Trent Green.
So you got Everett, Bulger, Gabriel. Okay, this is an old one. From 1949 to 1957, a three-word name.
Y.A. Tittle.
No.
That doesn't
but
count
you're on the right
words,
track
right?
like that.
No idea. I couldn't
Norm Van
you.
Brocklin.
Never would have got it. You could have said Norm Van, and I still might not have gotten it.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I would have got that with that clue. I wouldn't have got it originally.
No, I don't.
Number five
him.
Is Goff. Number six is Warner. Number seven, 1945 to 52, I would never have gotten this.
Let's see here.
Bill Van Brocklin.
Peter Jones.
Peter Jones?
Bob Waterfield.
Corkum.
Bob Corkum.
Waterfield. Number eight is Bradford. Number nine is Ferragamo. And here we go. Number 10 is actually he didn't play long with the Rams, but he put up decent numbers, I guess. He played from 76 to 81. I think it's the same guy that went on to, was he a coach? I don't know. Okay, his last name is the same first name as a famous coach character on TV. His last name is the same first name. Yes, he did. He went on to be an athletic director.
Oh
USC.
Oh,
athletic director.
Yeah, Pat Hayden. He was USC athletic
there
director.
There you go.
Yeah,
and that's the same name as Hayden Fry, right?
From Minnesota State. What was it? Minnesota State on that show.
Oh yeah, and wait, wasn't that the name of wasn't Coach's character and Coach Hayden?
Yeah,
Hayden Fox.
Hayden
yeah.
Fox. Hayden Fry was Iowa.
There you go.
Actually, it's funny. You said Hayden Fry. I was thinking of the Craig T. Nelson guy instead. Hayden Fox.
That's what I was thinking of, but it's Hayden Fox.
Hayden Fry is,
Craig T. Nelson
is the old, is
Hayden
the late
Fry is
Iowa
the real
coach.
Person.
Yeah, Hayden Fry coached at Iowa for a long time.
But Pat Hayden, there you go. Somebody get mentioned Dieter Brock. I don't even know if Dieter Brock's on this list, but there are some old names on
Dieter
here.
Dieter Brock, he would right. He would have come over from the
Billy
CFL.
Billy Wade. How about this? I'll give you. Let me give you some of these names though. Rams all time passers. You guys got the top 10. Number 10 is Hayden. Billy Wade is 11. Then we go Tony Banks, James Harris, Chris Miller,
James Harris,
Parker Hall, Zeke, Bratkowski,
a long time
Bill Munson.
Bill Munson,
Munson
the
not the same Bill
the
Munson, not the same one who used to be. With
I mean,
the
I knew he was good at tennis. I didn't know he could flip the ball, though. Wow.
But that Bill Munson was a phenomenal athlete, but he did not play quarterback for the Rams.
Yeah.
Case Keenum is number 18.
Wow. It's quite a list when you get past
Dieter Brock is number 22 for whoever tweeted that.
I'm still struggling with Vince Ferragamo being ninth. He wasn't that good, right? I mean, ninth.
Well, I don't think they've had like great passers either.
Yeah, I mean, I probably shouldn't throw stones in the glass house that is the Bills' list of quarterbacks
right.
all time.
They, I mean, he has less than 10,000 yards. He's number 9 on their list. So,
who's Peter Jones? Do you know somebody named Peter? Is that like a neighbor in the hinterlands? Peter Jones? Like, is there really you just Peter Jones?
No. No, I
by
just
the way,
came up with an older
freak, so you
name.
Know, Brayton Ryan Fitzpatrick is number 39 on their
Woo!
List. He has a total of 777 yards with them.
Oh, gunslinger mentality there, man.
There's your instant trivia. Brayton, you work on this. Go find out where Ryan Fitzpatrick ranks on the all-time passing lists for every team he's played for in the NFL. I expect an answer. Well, you're off tomorrow. All right, you have the weekend to work this out.
I'm away for the weekend.
So, do you not have
not
a computer?
Working.
Do you not have a phone?
No.
There's dedication for you. Hey, we're going to talk more Bills football when we get back. Heather Prusak's going to join us from Channel 4. Top of the hour, we're going to find out about college football. The SEC back this weekend. We might hear about the Pac-12 coming back. There's a vote, I think, today. The MAC is going to vote tomorrow. So Bill Bender's going to join us from the Sporting News. And then it's your weekly fantasy football update / advice from Scott Pianowski at 9:30, Yahoo Sports. It's all coming up on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're off to a good start. A lot of football yet to be played. A lot of growth yet to be had. I love how they're subscribing to the team-first approach on the offensive side of the ball, where we're getting different guys the ball, and one guy complements another guy, and I think that's healthy and a good dynamic as a football team.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, some of his comments from his Zoom call with the media yesterday. The Bills will be back at practice today. We'll get you some headlines real quick. Injuries are certainly something to track this week. It's a rather long report. We have the whole thing at WGR550.com. Of note, these guys did not practice yesterday. Beasley, Moss, Knox, Taron Johnson, Oliver, Delshawn Phillips, limited work for Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. Rams have a couple of running backs standing out on their DNP list, Cam Akers and Malcolm Brown. The Raiders, when they play the Bills, will not have Richie Incognito on the offensive line. He's been placed on IR. Looks like Nick Mullins is going to start for the Niners at quarterback Sunday against the Giants. Jimmy Garoppolo was injured in last week's game against the Jets. Tevin Coleman from the Niners out 4 weeks. It's Thursday Night Football tonight. The Jaguars hosting Miami in the Battle of Facial Hair. We'll have the game here on WGR. Tampa Bay beat Dallas last night 5-2. Steven Stamkos returned. First game in the playoffs, but he only played 3 minutes. He scored a goal, sat on the bench, didn't play the second or third period. They don't know if he'll be available for the next game. The Lightning lead that series 2-1. The Heat lead the Celtics 3-1 in the NBA Eastern Finals. The Jays' magic number is down to 1 after they beat the Yankees last night. They can clinch a playoff spot tonight at Salem Field, 6:37, first pitch. And MAC presidents are going to vote tomorrow on whether or not to have a fall football season. If they do approve it, it sounds like there could be a 6-game schedule beginning the weekend of October 24th. Headlines brought to you by Northtown. They're hiring for sales and service positions. Come join the best team. Apply online at northtowncareers.com. Sal's with us till the top of the hour. Jeremy's off for a couple days. We've been talking Bills football, and we're going to continue talking Bills football. Going to the Western Hotline right now, Heather Prusak joining us from Channel 4, WIVB-TV. Not going to lie, got her on to talk about the Bills and hoping to get some good dirt on Sal. Heather, it's Howard and Sal. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us, first of all.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. I figured,
good.
You know,
actually, I forgot. I was supposed to tell Brayton. Brayton, anytime we have a Syracuse person on, we have to play the Syracuse fight
Lord,
song.
Oh, my Lord. No, another Syracuse person.
So we need to do that for Heather. So if you have it queued up, you could play the Syracuse fight song, because that's, you know, what we do when we have a Syracuse person on. Heather is such a Syracuse fan that she named her dog Otto.
Okay, that's cute. I like that, though, Heather. Yep. That's okay. Yeah, I didn't know, Heather, I didn't know you were a Syracuse person. Sal, you didn't point that out to me. You sandbagged me.
Notice how he says it after the fact.
Right? Yeah.
I'm already on.
Yeah, he didn't mention that part. Right. There's a few too many around here. But okay. Heather, you know, one of the things we're talking about today with everybody who's listening is, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it, too. What do you feel good about? What concerns do you have? 2-0 start. Let's start with what do you feel good about through the Bills' first two games at this point?
Yeah, I think if you're a Bills fan, you've got to be really encouraged and like what you've seen from this passing game. I mean, that's really all we can talk about here. Usually it's the defense that we're sitting here saying, you know, look at the turnovers they've forced. Look at what they've been able to do. They've been able to limit, you know, opponents to X amount of points, all this stuff. But now we're finally talking about, and this passing attack is alive. They've come so far from that old ground and pound offense that we used to see under Rex Ryan and other head coaches. Josh Allen finally has the weapons around him, and he's utilizing them. I think that's something that's really encouraging, the fact that, you know, we're not questioning the deep ball and his accuracy there, the fact that he's hitting those balls. Now, granted, the opponents are the Jets and the Dolphins, so you can say what you want about that, but there's a lot to like from that passing attack there. I mean, the fact that Josh Allen's leading the league right now, again, only through two games, but he's leading the league right now in passing yards, digs, and receiving yards. The fact that he's utilizing Diggs the way that we all expected him to, and that Diggs is being that threat that everyone thought he was going to be. He's living up to the hype so far, and I think that that's something that I'm really encouraged by, and I really like what I see from that aspect from their offense.
Yeah, I think, you know, what Sal and I were saying, it's funny, Heather, I think all of us, media fans, we're all going through an adjustment right now and fully grasping that the identity of the Bills is not a top five defense, and it's not even, you know, let's run the football to either get the lead or put away a lead. The identity of the 2020 Bills is the passing attack with Josh Allen and all the weapons, and it's taking some getting used to.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because last night I anchored our late shows last night, and I was just looking through to see when the Bills played the Jaguars in 2018 it was, because I wanted to take a look because that was the first time that Josh Allen and Jalen Ramsey met. And I looked at the box score, and it said that Allen only had like 160 yards passing or something like that. So it's really funny to go back even just 2 years ago and look at how far they've come. I'm like, oh, 160 passes. Wow. I mean, and then he throws for, you know, 417 and four touchdowns against the Dolphins. So it was just funny to look at that box score and just see the progression in just 2 years.
I did the same thing this morning with a game from last year. We were talking about last Sunday, right, and how he's done so well against Miami. And sure, the schedule says Jets and the Dolphins are not great teams, but go put up 300, 400 yards passing, get all these points. The game here last year where they beat Miami, where they rallied in the fourth quarter, he threw for 200 yards, you know, and he didn't turn the ball over, but he only threw for 200 yards. And I think it just goes to 700 yards. I don't care who you're playing. You put up those kinds of numbers, and you're showing the chemistry with Diggs. And also, Heather, I think the depth of the receiving core stands out in the first two games. John Brown is still doing what John Brown did last year. Cole Beasley is still getting his chances and contributing like he did last year. Diggs is clearly the number one. And then you see, here's a really big touchdown catch from Gabriel Davis. Here's a touchdown catch from Reggie Gilliam. You're beginning to also see the depth of the passing game the Bills have.
Well, and that was a big question coming into this season, too, was, you know, he's got all of these weapons now. How's he going to spread the ball out? There's, you know, so many mouths to feed now. Everybody wants the ball, and that, of course, can sometimes lead to bruised egos when you're talking about targets and whatnot. But Allen's done a really good job through these first two games. Both games, he hit eight different receivers. So that just goes to show you that not only can he hit those guys, but he also feels comfortable with all of the different options that he has, where it's like, okay, if Diggs isn't an option, I've got John Brown. John Brown's not there, I've got Cole Beasley. Yep. Even again, you said Reggie Gilliam. I mean, who would have thought that we'd be talking about a Reggie Gilliam touchdown here? So the fact that, you know, he's able to get these young guys, these rookies involved in scoring there, it just shows how comfortable he feels with this offense right now.
Conversely, I'm sorry, go ahead, Sal. Yeah.
No, that's okay. It's on top of that. You know, you've watched Josh Allen's development over the last, you know, 3 years. We talked this week, Heather, about how, like, this is unique, right? It's not, he didn't come in like Patrick Mahomes and just slinging it, right? He didn't come in like, you know, some of the rookies in the past who you just kind of knew right away. This has really been building. I think this is why people are still kind of maybe doubting about where he is and what he's become, because we haven't seen a quarterback kind of take these progressions from really being really in this this small box and then suddenly taking the big leap and then another big leap the next year.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of times when you have a team that drafts who they hope is going to be their franchise quarterback, it's either kind of boom or bust, right? Where if they don't, you know, burst on the scene, it's like, oh, man, this guy is, oh, they made a mistake and whatever. And how many times have we said that about guys that the Bills have taken, right? So the fact that it's been a gradual progression and they've really been patient with him and taken their time and also been able to build around him, I think that speaks volumes to, you know, also the confidence that they have in him to stick with him and not just say, oh, okay, you know, after one season, he's not, you know, the next coming of Jim Kelly. So the fact that they've been patient with him and able to develop with him, again, I think speaks volumes to the confidence that they have in him.
Conversely, Heather, we got the good stuff out of the way. What about concerns? I mean, mostly good. Clearly, through the 2-0 start, what concerns would you have going into the game Sunday against the Rams?
Well, I mean, I think injuries are the biggest concern right now. I mean, you saw at times against the Dolphins how on defense they were really missing Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds, right? I mean, when Fitz started attacking over the middle, he was able to take advantage of those guys not in there. You saw the success that Mike Gesicki was able to have once he was able to do that, taking advantage of those mismatches there. That's something that you look at what the Rams offense brings. Jared Goff has so many different weapons at his disposal, too. You talk about Josh Allen having a lot of guys. Goff's got Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and then, speaking of tight ends, he's got Tyler Higbee, who they oftentimes design plays to get the ball to him, and it's not just taking advantage of those, you know, mismatches there, but they want to get him involved there. And he had three touchdowns last week against the Eagles. So if you look at what Gesicki was able to do without having Milano and Edmonds, imagine what Goff's going to be able to do and exploit those matchups with Higbee in there. So I think that, you know, injuries are a big concern going into this this matchup, because it's the biggest test that they're going to see, you know, so far this season, and the biggest, you know, one of many tough tasks on the schedule this year.
So you're out there every day at practice. What dirt you got on Sal? I mean, is there, when he's not around, do you and the rest of the media members have some good stuff that you, like, you could really dish out on him?
Really dish out. The thing that I love about Sal at practice, you just see him with his cell phone, and he uses the voice to text one. So
he does that here, like, too. He does it here in the studio, too. Josh Allen,
nice deep ball to Stephon Diggs, period. Really good pass, follows it up with another one, period. Drops back, period.
That's true. I do. That's how I do notes. I do.
I love it.
You know why I do that? Because then I can keep my eye on what's going on without looking down at my phone and typing. And then when I get a chance, I'll edit what I said. That's
great,
funny.
Great matchup. Tre'Davious White and Stephon Diggs, period. Bubble.
Well, here's what's great about that, though, Heather. Here's what's great about that. Because I've done that for so long now, my phone actually recognizes how to spell Tre'Davious White.
Oh, that's big.
That is amazing.
Heather Krusak with us from Channel 4, WIVB-TV here in Buffalo. Heather, thanks. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. Enjoyed having you on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. I'll be here to take some more.
Before we let her go, can we plug? Heather's got two things. I want to plug two things. Number one, I'm on TV with her. They allow me to come on TV with her. She does a great job in studio with Tim Graham, and then we're over at the stadium, obviously, with Josh and Thad Brown, Josh Reed, and then Matt Perino's on the show, too. She can plug that. But also, I want you to tell everybody about your segment with Otto, because I think it's amazing
Otto
and it's
dog.
Awesome what you do every week.
Yes, Otto the dog. He's a 3-year-old yellow lab. It's called Otto Zone. And what it is every week we both pick the Bills game. So I'll give my prediction, tell you why I think the Bills will or won't win, tell you a little bit about the matchup. And then we have Otto make his pick. There's two food bowls with a Bills logo, and then whoever they're playing, there's two treats in each bowl, and whichever one he goes to, that is his winner. We keep score every week so far. Poor little Otto is 0-2. I'm 2-0, so he's still looking for his first win. It airs every Friday on News 4 at 4, and then it's also online, my Instagram, all that, you know, social media stuff. So, yes, Otto is still looking for his first win.
I think I might use that for when I pick the Bills, see which food item I go to.
My producer said, maybe he thought you were supposed to pick the loser. I said, you know, Paul Hamilton does have a loser survivor pool.
That's
so
right.
Maybe he just got the rules wrong.
He reversed it. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Heather, thanks. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, we'll get a quick break in. Brayton's got pick of the week. He also got explicit instructions from Jeremy for what to use for the pick of the week. We'll see if he remembers when we get back on WGR.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Time for the pick of the week. Jeremy is off today, but if you were listening yesterday, well, even if you weren't, Jeremy left explicit instructions on the pick of the week. However, one of us is going rogue apparently as well. So, Brayton, take it away.
Well, listen, I'm not necessarily going rogue, but I'm just
contributing,
expanding everyone's kind of horizons with what's going on this weekend.
I'm good with expanding.
So I'm obviously going to honor Jeremy's pick of Oklahoma State against West Virginia. They're obviously honoring
Thurman.
Bills Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas.
Yep,
and that's going to be cool to see. They're going to he's one of the
first guy, not Barry Sanders. It is Thurman. He's going to be the first guy they put up on their Ring of Honor.
Good
I'm
for
just
Thurman.
Double checking. I think it was a 3:30 start, but I wanted to double check that before we get done with the segment.
Well, there's also another pretty couple of pretty big events going on in the sports world. Friday and Saturday is game 4 and 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. Back-to-back nights.
Oh,
and then you got obviously your whole Sunday of football as well.
Yeah.
So Jeremy's going to go with the Oklahoma State game against West Virginia.
3:30 on ABC Channel 7.
ABC, okay. So Jeremy's going to go with that. My pick of the week, personally, is going to be Friday and Saturday at the Stanley Cup Final because it could be over by Saturday. That's if Tampa wins the next two games, Tampa Bay's your Stanley Cup winner after getting embarrassed last year. It's like the Virginia Cavaliers all over again. They get it upset by the 16th seed, and then the next year they win the entire thing. So,
and then the end of the bubble.
Yes. So my pick of the week is going to be the Stanley Cup Final. Jeremy's pick of the week is the Oklahoma State-West Virginia game honoring Bills Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas. And this week's pick of the week is a 2013 Ford Flex from our good friends at Riverfront Auto Sales. Marty Sr. and Marty Jr. are Western New York's experts in finding quality pre-owned vehicles from all over the country. And this Ford Flex SUV has a ton of extras. It's automatic and has a 3.5-liter V6 engine with front-wheel drive, which is ideal for Buffalo's four seasons. This Ford Flex SUV is black and it's in like new condition. You can get this impressive Ford Flex SUV for only $14,995, and that is only at Riverfront Auto Sales. You're not going to find too many SUVs for under $15,000. So here's how you get on this. You can call Riverfront Auto Sales on Niagara Street today and be sure to ask for the black Ford Flex before it's gone. The number to call is 886-1626 for Riverfront Auto Sales.
Sal's going to step out here. So two things. One, Sal, thank you for filling in this morning. Thank you very much for that. Two, get a plug-in again for your show tonight.
Yeah, really really excited to have this show going on. We started it last week. It's called Sal Sports Live, and you can watch it. It's live. It's on the internet. It's with a camera. It's me, and you know, we talk Bills football for a half hour, leading you into Thursday night football. And tonight, I'm going to have Lindsay Theory. She's the ESPN LA Rams reporter. She's going to come on and talk a little bit about the Rams. But the best part about this show is you can choose your platform. If you are not on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube, you know, one of the other, you can choose. So you can go to Twitter, you can go to Facebook, my Sal Sports Facebook page, you can go to YouTube, I have a page there. Whatever you choose, you can watch it starting at 7:30 p.m. tonight. And how about this? The great folks, we have great people who work at Entercom, and Blair, who does a great job with some graphic designing, and Amanda, who really is on top of the digital stuff, they come up with some new graphics for me. So tonight I'll have some new graphics on the show as well.
Solid.
So that'll be pretty cool to debut.
All right. Very good. We will talk with you tomorrow for Football Friday.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Sal. Have a good day. Sal, stepping aside, when we get back, lots to get to as we roll into hour number four. We'll continue with your calls on the Bills discussion we've been having all morning. 2-0 start. What do you feel good about? What are you concerned about going into game three Sunday afternoon at the stadium against the Rams? We'll talk with Bill Bender from the Sporting News next as well. College football, big weekend. The SEC returns. Pac-12 might vote to return. Same thing with the Mid-American Conference. So that's coming up in a moment. And fantasy football advice with Scott Pienowski at 9:30. All headed your way on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.